Good afternoon and welcome to Pleasing God, the Bible study program heard on this station Monday through Friday for 15 minutes starting at noon. I'm Mark J. Ward and want to thank you for personally listening today and taking time out of your busy schedule to do something that I think is very important. And every day we should be doing something that is increasing our faith, increasing our knowledge and understanding of what God would have us do, both as individuals and in local churches. There is different instruction in the New Testament concerning what individuals can do to please God and what churches are to do to please God. And individuals, when acting in the local church capacity, are limited in being right by doing what the Lord authorizes the local church to do, made up of those individual Christians. But then, when the church has dismissed or the church is not working and functioning and funding something, the individual can work and fund something. And we want to make sure that we please God, that we're well-pleasing to Him, as Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verses 20 and 21, teach. Yesterday we had a very good study, and it was somewhat controversial, but we are talking about a controversial subject because many people do not believe that we can believe the Bible, specifically today the New Covenant, the perfect law of liberty as described as the doctrine of Christ, and stay just within it, but that the Bible is outdated and that it is no longer to be our sole guide of faith and practice. Well, I disagree with that concept. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and the God that I serve has delivered on giving us the faith that is once for all delivered, and that we don't have to change with the times and take things out of the Bible or ignore them or say, well, that was then, this is now. We need to be extremely careful when we start doing things that are even called out by name in the Bible. We've allotted this time today and are thankful for it that we would go to look at the seven churches of Asia, and John, writing the book of Revelation by inspiration, uses what Jesus actually said. So if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, it's very interesting to see that heavily throughout Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we find things, and in John, and in 1 Corinthians 11, when Paul is saying some things that he heard Jesus say, and maybe in Acts, when Paul was being talking to God on the road to Damascus, there'll be some things in the red letter edition of your Bible. But when you get to the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, and in other places, like chapter 21 or 22, you'll find some red letters there as well. We want to remember that Christianity started, okay, in the Acts 2 Pentecost, of which we can read in the Bible. Jesus came preaching and teaching things concerning the kingdom of God, the Lord's church, the new covenant, but they were not to become effective until after His death, burial, and resurrection and ascension to the Father. In 2 Timothy, though, we have a wonderful passage about our study that we want to start with, and then we'll turn over to the book of Revelation. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, the New American Standard Version says, retain, now this is Paul, an apostle, speaking by inspiration to Timothy, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Now look to 2 Timothy 2:2 while we're this close to it. Well, that was Paul talking to Timothy. I don't have to do that, Mark. That was for Timothy, some might say. Well, look what Paul, by inspiration, so God teaches us in 2 Timothy 2:2. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men. And this is a form of the word anthropos. So it includes the women, all right, who will be able to teach others also. And we'll just say, since we're in 2 Timothy 2, they should follow what's mentioned in 1 Timothy 2 with regard to not exercising authority over a man in the assembly, 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, or out of the assembly, 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. The point I'm making here is that in 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul told Timothy, what I'm telling you, you've got to teach that to other people too, because it's part of the doctrine of Christ. It's part of the faith that he was mentioning over in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13. That is the sound doctrine, the sound words, the standard of sound words. Yeah, that's to be our rule of faith and practice. In 2 John 9, in the New American Standard Version, the Bible reads, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. Now, this certainly is not limited to the red letters. Understand, this is talking about the doctrine of Christ, the gospel of Christ, the perfect law of liberty, what we've got as the faith once for all delivered. For Jesus himself said, as we were reminded yesterday, that he could not give all of the truth to the disciples because they could not bear it all at that time. It was too much for them. But he would not leave them comfortless. But he would go away to heaven. He would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to guide them into the rest of what we know is all truth. Jesus didn't teach them any error, but Jesus didn't teach them the totality of the new covenant. In understanding that, we have an obligation to go forth and teach it, and to only teach that and stay within it and not add to or take away from. As promised, we're so glad that we can have this study and go now to Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And we want to look to these seven churches of Asia as we have time. And maybe it will spill over in tomorrow's lesson as well, because we want to read the text. And what I'm trying to do on this program is emulate gospel teaching that's found in the New Testament that is both commending and exhorting and is warning or rebuking, because the evangelist Timothy was told by his mentor in Christ, an older brother, Paul, by inspiration. So it was God's word, not just Paul's word. It wasn't Paul's opinion. It was what Paul was inspired to teach. And we're to teach that same thing today, that we would reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And we're not going to be taking care of itching ears out there on this program. We're going to try to teach the gospel of Christ in love, and point out where we need to point out sin, and encourage where we can encourage. Jesus, our perfect example and teacher, did just this in the book of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3, as well as other places. The Bible says, verse 1 of chapter 2, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you have found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. This is commendation to the church at Ephesus. Verse 4 goes on in the same message to say, but I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Therefore remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Now remember, he's speaking to a local church here made up of individual Christians who have agreed to form a local congregation with a local treasury to do the authorized worship, work, admission of the local church, where in their right, Jesus is commending them. But he's also telling them as a local church that if they don't repent, he would remove their lampstand. Now, Jesus is in heaven when this is going on. He's already ascended. This book was written, if you take the later date of Revelation, to be around 90 to 96 A.D. That would put it as the last book of the Bible, the last book, inspired book of the New Testament. But he goes on to say, I'll take your lampstand away. This is not a literal candle holder that churches of Christ are to go buy, and whenever you start a local church, you have to go buy your lampstand and put it inside the church auditorium and carry it around in the classroom from time to time. This is something figurative that is representative of God's fellowship and endorsement, but not of everything. But when a church gets so bad and they don't fix what needs to be fixed, Jesus says, I'll take that lampstand away. So there's a period of time, even when error or deficiencies are in a church, that God will leave the lampstand there. After all, if you have baby Christians in a church, if the church is active and people are being converted to Christ, they're going to believe things that are wrong and need to be taught just by the very fact that they're babes in Christ. Now, God doesn't want the babe in Christ to sin at all. He doesn't want the mature Christian to sin at all. But the point is, we don't need to let the local churches get so bad that Jesus removes the lampstand. And I'm here to tell you, he's removed more of them than some people think. They're still meeting in the name of the Lord, and they continue to do things that are right, but they continue to do things that are wrong. And they need to check the Word of God, the written Word of God, to see where the deficiencies are and fix them while there's time and opportunity. Jesus says they needed to repent. I accept that. He says, verse 6, yet this you do have that you hate. So now he's going to commend them again for hating some false doctrine. So he commends them on some things that are right, and then he tells them some things that are wrong, significant enough that if they don't change, he'll remove their lampstand. And he says, yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. This is heaven. It's heaven or hell, folks. We need to wake up. We need to wake up quickly. We're about to run out of time today, but let's go to the message to Smyrna, verse 8. The first and the last, who was dead and has come to life, says this, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you'll be tested, and you'll have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I'll give you a crown of life. He that has an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches, let him hear. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Some good commendation to that congregation. And the tribulation and persecution up to and even including death because they were Christians. Jesus says, go through it. You'll be saved in the end. Then there's the message to the church in Pergamum. And we'll go over that, Lord willing, tomorrow, along with these others, if we can work them in. Thank you for listening to this continuing study on what is the true standard for religion today. God bless you. Have a great day.